of my favorite songs. I want to take you today to one of my very favorite verses in all the Bible. I know from time to time the kids will get on to me at least because I'll say, hey, that's one of my favorite verses. Hey, that's one of my favorite verses. Well, this one really is my favorite verse. We've been working our way through the book of Romans, and we've made it to chapter 5. Today, we're just going to kind of skip ahead a few verses. I want to take you to verse number 8 today. That one's it. That one's my favorite. In fact, it's Valentine's Day. And so because it's Valentine's Day, we need to look at this particular verse. The Bible says that we are to love one another. In fact, the Bible gives us a lot of admonition for saying, I love you. We're supposed to love God, right? The Bible says that we're to love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're supposed to love one another. Jesus said that second commandment's just kind of like the first. He says that you're to love your neighbor even as yourself. In fact, within the context of the church, the Bible just simply says, love one another. And then concerning your families, the Bible's very specific for us as husbands when He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. I'll tell you something. It's not hard to love my wife, but it can be hard to love them like Jesus loves the church. If I'm going to love her, and if I'm going to love my family, in fact, if I'm going to love you, my church family, like Jesus loves the church, then I need to know how Jesus loves the church. I need to understand what God's love really is and what it looks like. That's what Romans 5:8 is all about. You already have your place there? Stand with me then. It's only one verse, but man, it's such a good one. We got to stand in honor of it. We stand in honor of the reading of God's word. We really honor God's word, though, when we put it into practice. Look with me at verse number 8. It'd be very familiar to you. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. What a good demonstration. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving us, for dying for us, for rising from the dead so that we know that we know that you have provided real eternal life for us. Father, today, we come on this Valentine's Day and we say first and foremost above all others and above all else that we love you. We do love you. You asked Peter 3 different times if he loved you. He would respond back really saying, I care about you. We want you to know that we do love you with everything that we have. It's not nearly enough, but it's what we've got. We come together today as one. As a unified body of Christ, saying that we love one another, and it's out of that love for one another that we're able to love you, and it's out of the love that you have for us that we're able even to love one another. And so, Father, today we concentrate on that very favorite attribute of yours that we have, the love of God that has been shown on our behalf. We're grateful to you. It's in Jesus' name we would ask you today that you would teach us from this verse. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 is the clearest and the greatest I love you in all of the Bible. It describes for us a love that is unparalleled, that sometimes is unrecognizable almost. It's something that you and I really don't even have a real concept of unless He would write it right here in the pages of this book. What a great passage it is, isn't it? That God demonstrates His own love toward us. You know, it's just kind of normal, I guess, that we would say that, you know, on this day we give candy and we give flowers and we give cards. You know, the only problem with cards, or Hallmark cards or whatever they might be, is that you go to the store and you find those things and it's really something that somebody else has written. You know, in this particular case, God says, I want to show you my own love. It's not a description of anybody else's love. It's not a description of the way that anybody else would demonstrate love to somebody else. He says God demonstrates His own love toward us. His love for you is not manufactured. His love for you is not facetious. His love for you is genuine, true love. And if you can in some way, in some kind of way today, if you can take a hold of the love of God in your life and for your life, I'm telling you, it'll transform the way that you love God. It'll transform the way that you love your church family. It'll transform the way that you love people of the world. It'll transform the way that you love your own family. if you have an idea of how God has demonstrated his love for us. So let's look at it. There are three specific things I want to show you in this passage today. Number one is this. Demonstrations of love should first of all be shown. They should be shown. Love cannot stay bottled up, can it? It can't stay on the inside. If love itself becomes simply a concept that you somehow believe in and something that you feel towards somebody else, but you never do express it, first of all, it becomes something else than love. And secondly, it becomes something less than real, genuine love. Real, genuine, true love must be shown. It's aching to get out. Have you ever seen, maybe by a video on YouTube or on one of these shows where they get all those clumsy things together, all those clumsy videos together, and you see some guy and he takes a box of Mentos. You know what I'm talking about, the Mentos candy? Take those Mentos and drop them in the Diet Coke. And they say it doesn't work with anything else other than that, but you place those things in Diet Coke and what happens? Man, it starts bubbling. It starts growing bigger and bigger until it erupts out of that bottle. I saw a knucklehead the other day. It's the only way I know how to describe him. He popped a bunch of Mentos in his mouth and grabbed a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke and began to chug that thing. You know what happened? Redneck City. That's what happened. Listen, that stuff is going to come out. It is bursting to come out. Same thing's true with love. Love is bursting to come out. It demands that we demonstrate that. God says, but God demonstrated. God demonstrates his own love toward us. You are the object of his love. You are. You are the object of God's love, and he has demonstrated that to you. There's something I want you to know about that word demonstrated. It's a compound word that literally means to set together. Not to sit together. That's a different kind of love. This kind of love, he says, to demonstrate it is to set together. In other words, to take two things and put them side by side. You are combining them so that you can compare them. So what's he talking about then? For that, you've got to back up one verse. You've got to back up to verse number 7. Because in verse number 7, he sets forth for us our love, our highest kind of love, when we would sacrifice for another person. That is high love, isn't it? We think about our soldiers that pay an ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, and we say that is real, genuine love for their country. I had a pastor that used to ask all of his couples when they came in and wanted to be married this question, and I've picked it up, and now I ask our couples when they come in. Look that man square in the eye and say, would you die for her? Would you? If you can, if you can't say that you would, then there's really not any reason for you to be together. Would you do that? And we would say, yes, absolutely I would. But look at verse number 7. It reveals the human heart, doesn't it? For scarcely, not all the time, rare is the case. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Now here's the problem. In chapter 3, he's already told us that there are none righteous, no, not one. And he says that there's not any that are good. So even when we look at a person that we would say is righteous, when we look at a person that we would say is good, this is a person that I might consider, and that's about as far as that goes, that I would consider giving my life for. We'd say, man, that's the highest kind of love that there must be. But, what a great word in verse 8. But, scarcely for a righteous man would a person die. Scarcely, rarely for a good person would anybody even consider dying. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. Real, genuine love has to be demonstrated. It has to be shown. It has to be seen. It has to be evidenced. And the only person that can do that is you. You are the only one that can demonstrate your real love. No matter how good Hallmark is, they cannot come up with a card that adequately describes the love that you have in your heart for another person. You have to show that. You have to demonstrate to your family that you love them. You have to demonstrate to your church family that you love them. You have to demonstrate to your world that you love them. You have to demonstrate to your God that you love Him. He has done that for you. He has demonstrated that. By the way, you'll notice that the word says demonstrates. It's in the perfect tense. Do you know what that means? Perfect tense always means continual action. It means that He continually, every day, in so many ways, every day He is continually demonstrating His love towards you. When you think you've got a handle on what love is, God blows that away. All the time. True, genuine love, demonstrations of love, they have to be shown. Secondly, they have to be started. They have to be started. They have to be initiated. Somebody has to begin it, don't they? You know, if you're a middle schooler, and you got your eye on that little girl over there, you know, you've already sent her that little note that says, "Do you like me? Check the box, yes or no." And she checks some other box or ripped the paper in half. Your little heart's devastated. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just saying. Somebody's got to start it, don't they? Somebody has to. The question is when? When? When you go to that first little middle school dance and all the boys are on one side and all the girls are on the other and they just call it a dance because nobody is, you know, until finally, either by the prompting of his friends or hopefully by the love that's in his own heart, he finally makes his way from one side of the room to the other, at least to go get that girl some punch, right? Somebody's got to start it. But when does it start? Look in your verse. But God demonstrates His own love toward us when? Not when we were good. Not when we were attractive. Not when things were better for us. It says that while we were still sinners. Now that's not to say that we don't sin now. That's not what that means. What is He talking about? He's talking about your life before Christ. He's talking about that time when you are alienated from God. Listen, the Bible says, and we don't like this, but the Bible says that we are at enmity with God. That there's an alienation between us and God. Nobody in here would want to admit that. Not a person in America would want to admit that. But it's the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says that we are alienated from Him. That we are His enemies. And we are storing up for ourselves wrath in the day of judgment. Now, if you are a sinner who has never repented of your sins, never by faith trusted in Christ, one of these days you will pay an ultimate price for that sin. The Bible says that He will pour out His wrath upon all sinners. It's going to happen, it's sure. Jesus takes that punishment for us, right? When? When I come to Him and I say, "Jesus, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't have done that. I know that I'm a rebellious sinner and I want to be right with You." Does He then go to the cross and die for you? No. Now, some of you are old, but you're not that old. Jesus died in your past, every person's past that's in here. Before any of you were born, before any of you were thought of, Jesus died for you. Here's the neat thing. When we say before you were thought of, we think about our parents. He was thinking of you already. The Bible says before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain for you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That He would love you that much. So who starts the demonstration of God's love? It's not me. It's not me. It's Him. The Bible says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He what? That He first loved us." He loved us first. He is the one who initiated. He is the one who started it. Long before I was lovely, long before I was repentant, long before I was good for anything, He died for me. He demonstrated His love for me long ago. Listen, there are going to be days when you don't feel like you love your church family. That's just the way it goes. How do you know that? Because there are days when you don't even love your own family. Right? Listen, all our kids are gone off on the ski retreat. It's kind of nice. There are days you want them to go, right? Listen, even though there may be days when you don't feel like it, there ought not ever be a day when you don't start it. It is not up to my children to drag out of me that I love them. It's not up to you to drag out of me that I love you as a church family. I don't have to drag it out of God. He's already demonstrated His love for us. For God so loved the people of the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever, even Carson, Connor, whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. It brings me to the third thing I want to share with you today. You see, demonstrations of God's love, they ought to be shown, and they ought to be started, and they ought to be sacrificial. They ought to be sacrificial. Listen, if the Bible says that we are to love, and especially and specifically that I'm to love my spouse the way that Jesus loves the church, how does Jesus love the church? If you continue with that phrase in the book of Ephesians, the Bible says, "Love husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." There's a sacrificial nature in the love of Christ, and there's to be a sacrificial nature in our love. To say that you love another person, or to say that you love your church family, or to even say that you love God, is not so that you can get an I love you back in return. Would you tell your spouse, I love you, if you knew good and well that they would not repeat it back? Would you tell that little middle schooler, now, not if you're an adult, because that's creepy, but if you're in middle school, would you tell them that you love them, even if you knew that they wouldn't reciprocate it? Would you tell a church that I love you even if you knew that it wouldn't be reciprocated? God did. The Bible says broad is the way and broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many will find it. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few will find it. There will be few that will ever reciprocate the love of God. And yet the Bible says that He loves the entire world. For God so loved the world. He didn't just love those who love Him back. You know, this might do some damage to some of your theology, but He didn't just love those that are the elect. He loves everybody. 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 And He has sacrificed for them. He has sacrificed Himself for them. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That He would become the satisfactory sacrifice. That His death on the cross would be what would satisfy the wrath of God that is against me and is against you. It has to be sacrificed. If you're going to demonstrate love to your spouse, it better be sacrificial. If you're going to demonstrate love to your children, it better be sacrificial. If you're going to demonstrate love to your church family, it has to be sacrificial. If you're going to show love toward the world, then it has to be sacrificial. If you're going to show love towards God, it has to be sacrificial. Why? Because His was. In this verse and throughout this chapter, God uses a word for love that some of you are very familiar with. The word is agape. It's a love that is unconditional. It's not based on merit. It's not based on appearance. It's not based on any factor other than the nature of God Himself. It's a choosing. It's a choosing of love. I choose to love you. I choose to do that. And every day He makes that same choice. He chooses to demonstrate love to you. I mentioned to you a while ago, Peter. Jesus has died on the cross. He has been resurrected. He's begun showing Himself to some of His disciples. And at one point, Peter just wonders if it's really enough. I mean, he left a fishing business. He left his family. He left everything behind in order to follow Christ. And now he's dead, and some are saying that they've seen him and all of those things. And Peter finally tells the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." And he didn't mean for the afternoon. He means for the rest of his life. "I'm going back to how life used to be." You know what the disciples say? "We're going with you. Peter, if you're going to give up, then we're going to give up too." Good reason for us to hang on, isn't it? "Peter, if you give up, then we're giving up too. We're going fishing with you." And the Bible says that they're out there fishing, and they hadn't caught a thing. Not one thing all night. Frustrating for you fishermen, isn't it? Until Jesus is on the shore, and He yells out to them and says to cast their net on the other side. They've seen this miracle before. They've seen Him do it before, and they know. And they cast those net on the other side. The thing is filled with fish. And Peter just jumps on in the water and begins to make his way to shore. He knows it's the Lord at that point, doesn't he? Leaves them other poor boys out there to carry all those fish in. When he gets to shore, there is a conversation between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus says this, "Peter, do you agape love me?" What would you say? What would you say if you were face to face before the Lord and the Lord were to say to you, "Tim, whatever your name is, do you agape love me?" As we're reading our English text, the Bible says, Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." But you look a little bit deeper, and Peter changed the words on Jesus. He didn't say, "I agape you." He said, "I phileo you." Phileo is like, you can hear the word Philadelphia in there, right? The city of brotherly love. See, agape love is an unmerited, unconditional kind of love. When God is the subject and love is the verb is always agape. It's how He always loves us. But Peter turned it around. He said, "Lord, you know that I have brotherly love towards you. You know that I care about you. You know that I'm concerned about you." And so then Jesus asks him again, "Peter, do you agape me?" Kind of on the spot, isn't he? There's a temptation in our heart to just turn it around and say, well, yeah, I do. Well, the problem is that Peter doesn't have anything to show it. So he says, "Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that I care about you." The third time Jesus asked the question, and this time Jesus changes it. And he says, "Peter, do you phileo me? Do you care about me at all?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord. I do phileo love you." God is calling us beyond concern, beyond compassion, beyond pity, beyond care, beyond brotherly love. He is calling us to do more than simply be concerned about our world. He's calling us to do more than to care about our church family. He's calling for us to do more than simply show brotherly love to our God Supreme. He is calling on us to love Him the way that He loves us. That's why He says, husbands, agape love your wives, just like Jesus agape loves His church and gave Himself for it. Valentine's Day has got to be about more than presents and candy and flowers and cards. We're called to love one another and to love others and to love Him. How are you doing with that? Let me ask you to do this. Let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes with me. Can you say, we said imagine it. So can you right now, can you in prayers, you talk to God, can you say right now, God, I agape love you. If you can, then why not be specific? This is how I demonstrate it. This is how I show it. This is how I initiate it. This is the sacrifice. Could you tell your family that you agape love them? Where's the demonstration? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the starting? Can you tell your church? I'd ask you the same three questions. What about the world, the people of the world? Same three questions. Maybe today, you just need to come to the altar and say, God, I've got a heart that has been hardened. I need you to tenderize it. I need you to help me to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I need you to help me to love my neighbor as myself. I need you to help me to love my spouse the way Jesus loves His church. Because that honors Him, and because it's in agreement with His will and His word, I believe He'll answer that prayer if you're willing to pray it. Listen, it may very well be that you've never come to a point where you've repented of your sins and you've trusted Christ. Why not make today that day? To be able simply to say, God, I see your love. I see it. I see it in the cross, and I understand that. And now I yield my life to you. Can you pray that? Why don't you come see me or Jim here during this time and just say, hey, I prayed that prayer. Or I want to pray a prayer like that. I want to know that I belong to Him. There's no other substitute for it. Listen, if you want us to pray with you about anything at all, we'll be glad to do that. If you want to plant your life in the life of our church, if God's given you direction in that area, we can take care of those things too. But listen, the altar's wide open. If you just want to come and gather there and pray, then you do that too. Stand with me if you will, your head bowed and your eyes closed. Lord Jesus, You know exactly what every person in this room needs. There's not a person in here that You don't love. There's not a person in here that You've not given Yourself for. There's not a person in here that You don't want with You in all of eternity. So Father, I pray that right now that Your Spirit will work in the hearts of every person, drawing us close to You for the very first time, drawing us closer to You than we've ever been before, getting us out of that spiritual funk that we've been in. Father, we just pray that You'll be at work, that You'll do what we need more than just simply what we want. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.